Good morning, Goshen County. This is Jeff Hawes with Easter Wyoming College and excited to be back with you for another week of Lancer Live. On this week's program, I have two guests with us today. We have B.J. McCollum, our athletic director. Good morning, B.J.
Good morning, Dr. Hawes.
And we also have with us Caleb Spitzer, our new esports coach, who we're going to be talking with here shortly. Good morning, Caleb.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're glad to have you both on the program, but before we talk about something, before we talk about this concept of esports, I would like to work with our athletic director here and discuss our rodeo program. And we will have Whit Peterson and some of our students here later in the spring semester come back to report on their spring competitions. But I know we just finished off an event this last weekend, and, you know, we've knocked down our first two events of the year. If you could talk about both of those, BJ.
Yeah, it was really, really special this weekend. You know, having Whit Peterson leading our program is just, it's a really, really, really a blessing. Last week, they opened up at Gillette, and I know here in the spring, Whit's kind of getting everybody together a little bit. We had an injury to one of our athletes, and when one of your athletes is a 1,600-pound horse, it's a little different than the rest of the sports, but, we had a barrel racer that was doing an outstanding job in the fall and lost her horse for the spring, and that slowed us down a little bit, but, you know, we're working hard. We've got a good goat tire, and we came to this weekend, and I think part of what happens and what I've heard, you know, I'm a rookie at this rodeo thing, really enjoy watching them work so hard, but the athletes, when they host a rodeo, a lot of times they're working the rodeo and maybe they don't put up their best performances and things. So this wasn't one of our better performances at home, but man, the turnout for the rodeo, the people there, the atmosphere, the excitement, it was a really good weekend for Eastern Wyoming College and the rodeo program.
So for those that are, you know, in this community that are highly identifiable with rodeo, reality is when you host an event, that's everything from not just when the event's running to collecting tickets and the cash at the door. Our students are involved in every facet of that, but it's bringing all the cattle in on the front end. I mean, it's weeks of preparation to host that event. For the coach, it's months of preparation. And for the college, it's a significant commitment to support these young people in these efforts. So, it was a great weekend for the rodeo, and it was a great chance, just being there over the last couple of days, connecting with our local stakeholders, seeing all the individuals from the outside coming in, hosting competitions in our local community. It's a great thing. And people don't always think about the other side, that when we host an event like a rodeo or any athletic event, there are people that are coming, staying in hotels right here in Torrington, eating at restaurants in our local town. And we talk about that often. Again, a college has a significant economic impact on our local community. And to host these families coming in, it takes more than just the college. We're a small part. We have a very strong relationship with our county fairgrounds. And that relationship is a significant one because we rent that facility.
Yes, we rent the facility, and Whit works very closely with the fair board and the people out there, and they've done a great job getting ready for the rodeo. And Whit's involved in everything. I joke, the guy's running about five different companies, running the rodeo program between buying livestock, selling livestock, boarding livestock, shipping livestock, and then all the people side of it. It's a big business enterprise, and you know, we're really fortunate to have a person like Whit in a program like that supported by our local community.
And I know you and I were just chatting at the rodeo last night that as Whit was busy giving out awards and handling the final stages. Well, I shouldn't say last night, it had been Sunday morning and afternoon. But as they were wrapping up that rodeo, we were talking about, again, the next steps. And as we think about you know, resources that this rodeo program needs. That's something that's going to come front and center. You know, right now, currently, we have 33, I think, students that are on the rodeo program. I might be off on my numbers by one or two. And again, Whit can correct all that when he comes on the program here in the coming month with some of his students as they wrap up the season. But as we think about, again, these individuals coming from all over Wyoming, throughout the Rocky Mountain states, and in some cases, right, talent that's been recruited from Texas and other areas of the country. When we think about those students descending on our campus, not only do they fill our classrooms, both in our transfer and career programming, I mean, all sorts of majors and all sorts of walks of life come into that rodeo program, and they will be out working in our backyard in the coming months and years.
That's right, and you know, the expenditures they make in the communities with the horse boarding and things like that, it's really big impact to our campus, the cultural diversity, you know, bringing kids from all over the mountain states in Texas and places like that. But it's truly an American sport. You know, these are American kids participating in American sport, and we're really proud to have them on our campus.
So talking sports, and, you know, as an academic institution, I'm a firm believer that not just sports, it can be anything that brings a student to our campus. Livestock judging, show teams, you know, soils judging teams. There are things that I could now start listing off that we have a livestock and a show team, and I would love to see other many. And there's 14 or 15 major agronomy events, or just in ag alone, that I think could be competitive teams that we one day bring to our campus. But nothing's going to be more front and center than what we just added, and that's esports. And I would like to, if we could, we're going to defer to Caleb. We hired an esports coach. He's on an interim appointment over the next year as he sets off to establish our program. And Caleb, would you tell us a little bit about your background? And, you know, first off, where'd you go to college?
So I technically graduated from Thomas Edison State University in New Jersey. Never set foot over there, so I was homeschooled my whole life. And I started when I was about 16 years old into this program called College Plus. And College Plus basically allows you to take CLEP tests, which are generally reserved for military or other kind of boosting programs to kind of get you through some of the basic things like writing and math and history. And basically you take these tests, and the way Thomas Edison had their program set up was that they'll accept all these CLEP tests as credits towards your degree. So when I was young, I started doing that. And because my degree was in biology, I had to start taking some on-site labs. So I went to Clackamas Community College, and then I went to Portland State University to get some of those labs that were required.
Well, that's outstanding. And I, you know, in fact, at a prior college, I worked very closely with a number of homeschool families. And, you know, we have some great talent come through our college. And CLEP was one of the tools that, you know, is open and available to any student that if they've learned mastery, you know, they can test out of content. And that's actually very impressive. You know, what age were you when you were taking many of those CLEP tests?
16, 17 were a majority of the CLEP tests. And then by the time I was 18, I was actually on the schools
to take those labs. Well, so you're a biology major by trade.
Yes.
So I got to ask the question, how did you get into esports?
Yeah, so that's it's something I think that a lot of people did when they were kids is play video games. My mom played Super Mario before I was even born. She was doing it when I was really young. She was playing those games, and I was jumping into them too. And then as I got into college and stuff, video games really kind of started blossoming with the onset of the internet and how it can kind of bring everybody together. Games became online, and games became competitive online, and I really started taking a liking to one specific game called League of Legends, and that's really where a lot of my initial kind of esports background came out, where you watched the pro players play, and they had big events, and that was just something I was really excited about. So I was working at the chemistry lab and then the microbiology lab, but while I was doing those things, I was playing and interacting with a lot of those esport kind of tournaments that were happening.
Well, that's outstanding. And so, I mean, is there any one game that could be, I mean, what makes something competitive for an esport? I'm pretty confident. I got to be honest. I'm a little old school when I think about athletics and when we start talking about the NJCAA, which is the Athletic Association that governs athletics for community colleges like EWC, they created a special division. So this sport is regulated under the NJCAA. And so what does that mean, like, for the colleges that are doing it? Well, first off, are we the only Wyoming college that's involved with esports?
We are not. So I know the Northwestern up in Powell and then Laramie County also have esports programs through the NJCAA. Those are the only two that I know of in Wyoming. Some others might be starting but haven't officially got it off the ground yet. But
outstanding. So, and we're going to come back to Caleb for a second, but I have a question for BJ. You know, one of our goals as a college is to focus on growth. And it's not uncommon or unknown knowledge in higher education. The institutions all across this country have lost enrollment over the last decade. And Eastern Wyoming College is no different. We have by tracking what the Wyoming Community College Commission tracks, all eight colleges, community colleges in the state of Wyoming have lost enrollment. I'm very confident, though, that those are trends that can change, and because students are making different types of choices today. And experiences that we offer on campus, like rodeo, is a significant part of helping make sure that is going to help us curb or take that a different direction. I've had this experience at a prior college where I am very confident there was a two-campus community. One campus saw a massive decline, and I was on a campus that didn't see that decline because we were adding activities and we're creating the types of things that will build that. So, BJ, what's your view on the types of things that can help a college build enrollment?
Well, I think anything that gets students excited, that wants them to be a part of something, I think those things can really help you. I think that's what our esports program will do. It can also give us an online footprint where students from around our district can participate. I'm going to let Caleb talk about Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 and how people can participate. But we're really excited about esports bringing more people in that way. But, you know, in the future, there are several different things that we could do based on housing. You know, we're looking at softball, possibly wrestling. There are a lot of things that we could do to bring more students here, and those are full-time students that generate more income for the college and for the community as well.
Well, I love that idea. So, you know, I love BJ, our conversations, because you've brought a lot of ideas to the table about what's possible, and I love those areas of athletics. And now this esports creates a different venue, though, because it's not your, and I was a wrestler in high school, and I get pretty excited when I think about that type of a sport being showcased in this college. But now this esports, a little different type of an athlete. And, you know, John Hansen's talked about it on this program a year ago, before BJ McCollum joined us as the athletic director and before Caleb joined us in this role right now as our coach. Of the idea that, you know, esports is really being tagged as a field where students that are interested in computer science and a lot of the STEM fields will tend to emerge to, and it's a different type of athlete. And so let's talk about those different tiers, Caleb. And so under the NJCAA, there's a whole structure that's provided. Let's go through those tiers and talk about what that means. And already, I know you've had already some recruiting. You've only been on the job how many days now?
This was the start of week 4.
Okay. So in 4 weeks, you had an opportunity to have handle some recruiting, and you already have some students lined up. And we'll kind of hit that later. Let's talk about these tiers.
Yeah. So the way the NJCAA it's a separate but associated division with the standard NJCAA. They have it structured to where there's a tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3 levels of competition. Tier 1 and tier 2 being kind of the bread and butter of like what full-time students are going to be enrolling in and participating in. Tier 1 being kind of the peak. You pick like one or two games to kind of play at tier 1, and those you're heavily coaching, you're having lots of training sessions, you're having the kids kind of go through a lot of the I guess, standard sport processes to hone their abilities and skills. And then at the tier three, is the kind of the cool thing, and NJCAA has set it up intentionally this way, where you basically have no requirements for joining in at a tier three through a college. So there isn't, you know, full-time enrollment requirements or anything like that, and the schools can kind of set their own choices for those tier three things. But it really helps build, as kind of mentioned before, a community around esports and around the college's kind of facilities and what they're doing. And so I do have some prospective kids for kind of that, you know, tier one, tier two kind of level. And I've had a lot of interest in that tier three, where we can have people join in and play in the NJCAA tournaments. There's no requirements for being on for the whole season. You can kind of hot swap anybody in and out as they want to join in, and we can really kind of build a community through the college with this tier three level, where people can come in and play and have a good time. We could host weekend events or day events and things like that to kind of help get people involved.
You know, my brother's a Marine, and you know, he's now been out of the service going on 25 years, and he's worked in the ag industry for a lot of years. And it's interesting when we start talking esports. You know, I'm going to throw a game out there, and I'm diverting from this topic because, like, Call of Duty.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people may not always understand, well, what's the game about? But it's almost, I know that he connects with his former, the people he served with,
mm-hmm.
in Call of Duty games, and you know, like me, he's in his 50s, and that is it's almost a point of connection.
Yeah.
And so when you start talking about these various divisions and levels, can you talk about what that means? Because I do picture a day where we're bringing military students in who may be wanting to pursue an education. And one of the things we start thinking about military, one of the challenges is they transition from military back to civilian life, and they step into a campus. And every campus and every college campus in Wyoming has to deal, because we all have veteran populations. Could esports be something that helps support some of those areas and thinking about how we can help them connect and feel connected, because again, they come with experiences and life experiences that separate them from other students, and that's some of the challenges of helping a veteran progress through a system and succeed. What are your thoughts to that?
Yeah, so the esports is really cool relative to kind of how other sports work, is because you don't even necessarily have to be on campus to play. So like for some of the bigger tournaments where we'll want to, you know, do a lot of heavy review for that tier one stuff, you know, it'll be a little more important that students are at least able to make it to campus occasionally. But, or I can go to our Douglas campus and try and get some stuff set up there as well. But for the veterans and that kind of thing, this tier three, is really, I think, going to help allow them to come to college and play in kind of an organized structure while still staying connected with other people maybe who have interest in the military, or even play with their friends who are deployed or their old stomping grounds. And it's something where you they could be here on campus and be playing with somebody in England, right? And if they know a bunch of people who maybe are still in the military, or you know, got out and stayed in another country, they could still be connected in that way through this. And it's
that's outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, let me add another thought to that. So you have those tiers,
mm-hmm.
and you also, there could be the use of these resources just for our current student population, right?
Yeah.
And you know, intramural sports are something that I think not just about our athletes, but we have students who come here and sit in dorms. And if our gym, and there are times our gym is unavailable, there's nothing for our students to go engage in the wintertime. I mean, sitting in a dorm room just studying nonstop is not the most productive environment.
Yeah.
At times for students. So again, what are some other things like that, even beyond the esports system, that this can have an impact on? You've already had some conversation with some potential students on this.
Yeah, so it's something that's I think it has a lot of potential to help kind of get this program off the ground too, is having the college host events that are not related to like the heavily competitive side, but have people come in and play games like Overcooked, where there's, you know, five different people running around a kitchen making hamburgers and drilling their customers, and it's chaotic and fun. Or having I was talking to Danny at the Moose, the old Moose down there in town, and he wants to start hosting maybe some old school arcade stuff. And I was talking to him about how we could help him with the school and help host community events in that way too. And with the students who are stuck on campus over the summer or over the winter break and things, we could set it up where they have something to come to, have a place to come hang out. So they have that student center, and we could host things at or nearby that, and give them at least a place to hang out, even if they're not engaged, just be around other people, not just alone in a dorm. And I think really help drive that kind of hangout and community zone around this.
So, and these are really the exciting things when you start thinking it's all about possibility. And this is an uncharted map here for EWC. We can choose and pick, and your goal is to help create some of that. And so if you could, let's stop for a second and talk about some of your experiences, because we alluded to it at the front end. You have some experiences running competitive teams and working with organizations at a national level. Can you talk about that background in esports?
Yeah. So as part of my hobbying through my labs and microbiology stuff, I ended up joining a tournament organization called Rising Empires, and I really joined it at the kind of the ground level where there wasn't a whole lot of structure and a whole lot happening. And what it was for a game called Age of Empires 4, which is a real-time strategy game. It's kind of a top-down kind of grandiose kind of thing. And it's the way the tournament organization was structured was we had weekly tournaments every Friday and Saturday, and we had a community pool that people could donate money into. And the prize money for the tournaments was all community donated and all community driven. And so we really had to focus on keeping that community going, because that was literally how we survived as an organization. And I was the production lead for that, so I ran the streams on Twitch and did all the extra video content and ran the advertisements, and I trained up the new people coming in to cast the games. So, like, for any sport, you have the guys calling out the plays and stuff for people on the radio or people watching. You have that exact same thing for each video game, and so I was the guy who had to train those people. I also was involved with running some professional-level tournaments that we hosted as well, kind of one-shot things that we ran. So I had to reach out to them, and then I had to work with a lot of the current players, because we offered out free coaching as a reward as well. And so I was kind of part of that coaching group where we would take some of the winners and or some of the contenders and bring them in and have a day where we'd talk them through and show them how the game works and strategies and ways to kind of compete. And I did that for just under 2 years. And it was a really, really cool experience that really helped drive my passion for esports.
So you know, even though you're trained to be biology is your background and you're still a major passion and interest, that experience that you had as a student really helped gauge something that we are drawing you into here. And at the end, you know, you have many dreams and goals in your life, and we've talked about some of those, you know, off air. We don't need to do all those here. But at the end of it, you know, we have a lot of hope that as Caleb begins to build this program, it's something that not only can have impact on our Torrington and Douglas campuses, but in our outreach centers throughout our 6-county district. It's a way to engage students, both in a competitive team environment with one another, and students, they may report to the campus. It might be someone up in Hewlett that's on that sports team. I know our athletic director, BJ, you'd like to say something.
Yeah, there's an alumni outreach capacity with this as well, because the Tier 3 alumni can play, as well as current employees and ex-employees. It really brings to the community that Caleb was talking about, and we can bring back those alums to participate.
No, I really don't like to think I'm
the president.
Well, I don't really like to think that I'm that old, but I will say at 54, you know, a lot of this is, again, there's a lot in our listening audience, or like they will. I mean, there are things about this I don't fully understand, but that my kids do. It is a generational thing. And but as I mentioned, I have a brother who again plays Call of Duty and has for ever since he left the military, connecting with the band of brothers that he served with in the Gulf Wars. And that is, I mean, these are the types of things that are in our society today, and they're tools that can be used in a very productive manner. And just thinking about the possibilities of, we do not have a computer science program at our college. It does not mean we do not teach some computer classes, but there are some things that we are interested in exploring, especially in the areas of cybersecurity. That's a local need in our local businesses. And drawing talent and skills that can engage that environment. These are critical, critical things, as well as the many other tools that can be brought along the way. And again, this is a different type of athlete. It's a different type of population. And it's one that will have great interest in that, you know, we're already seeing. So it's going to be exciting. So we have a goal here. You know, and again, I'm not going to hold you to this goal, but we do have a goal of growing students over the next couple of years. And how big could this program ultimately become?
Well, we're hoping to get 30 full-time students, but as many as possible, you know, the part-time students, anybody that takes a class, two classes, can join the program at the Tier 3 level and enhance our enrollment. And, you know, if we get up to 30 and 40 students, and we'll make Caleb the most valuable coach on campus.
And, you know, enrollment's a big part of what we do. And as I mentioned, every college, there are colleges that have grown in the last decade, but not very many, in universities. I'll be honest, I was just watching just a little bit of basketball last night, and there was a college that's, I believe it's a private liberal arts college, and you know, Grand Canyon is out there. They've grown a lot in the last decade, and not many colleges and universities can say that. These are things that are very, again, experiences are the key to helping us identify and put students as they seek their academic goals, whether it's in welding, cosmetology, or becoming a biology, right? You know, pursuing chemistry or biology, becoming an engineer, whatever that pathway is, and new fields that we want to look at, like computer science. Reality is, an esports can help add to that agenda.
Well, you watch Grand Canyon's enrollment now after their basketball team has made it, because schools that have done well in the NCAA tournament, usually their enrollment explodes as well. But people want to be part of winners. If esports wins here, that will bring us more students. Our rodeo team, as they get better and better and better, they're going to bring more athletes, more students. You know, we just want to win at everything we do. The more we win, the more we grow, and that's our goal.
Well, that's a great note to end on. And Caleb, any final words you'd like to share with the listening audience as you continue to reach out to our K-12? I know you're working heavily with our K-12 systems. You're recruiting actively, and kind of where are we at right now in the recruiting landscape?
Yeah, so I have a couple students that it looks like want to sign on for some full-time classes. Still looking for a lot more. So if you're out there and you're looking to start taking some full-time classes and start working towards an associate's or transfer degree or whatever program you want to join in, go ahead and contact me. I have a few flyers around town, and you can contact the college and get a hold of me as well. But
what's the best way to reach you? I mean, do you have a phone number or an email address?
Yeah, so I have cspitzer at ewc.yo.edu, or my phone number is 307-534-2405. Those are both my work contact information, and you can reach out to me there. There's scholarships available for full-time students as well, but even if you're doing like dual enrollment as a high school kid, if you're a sophomore or a junior coming in and you want to participate, we can get you in those as well. If you're looking to take some early classes to help boost your college as well.
So there are scholarships available. This is another competitive team we're adding here at the college. One of the goals is growth, and your interest, your area of interest is that is not a qualifier. If welding is your passion, if ag is your passion, Nursing is your passion. You name it, again, or a transfer degree option here at the college. Any of those are an option. Please, you can reach out to Caleb Spitzer. Or, again, just reach out to the recruiting office at the college. There's a lot of different ways to get a hold of us. But if esports is something you're interested in or you have a family member who may be interested, please make that referral. We would love to chat with them. So with that, this will bring to a close another week of Lancer Live. And again, we look forward to seeing you all next Monday. Have a great week.